Welcome, everyone, to Ask the Pastor. Once again, thank you for tuning in. And the purpose of this podcast, this YouTube page, is to give biblical answers to life's daily questions. And so I want to thank you so very much for all the questions that have been submitted. And I'm thankful for the thoughtfulness of the questions, because some of these really aren't easy to answer, but I'm going to do my best. So you keep it up. Continue to encourage other subscribers. Please share the Ask the Pastor podcast and YouTube page. Thank you very much. Well, let's get on with it. Our first question today comes from one of our listeners, and it says, "Hello, Pastor. As you know, our family's life has been changed drastically by the power of God and His leading of Edmonds First Baptist Church to help us this past 3 years. I'm wondering, is there anywhere in God's Word that says we are to give and receive equally? I know that God gives and also receives, and I believe in my heart that it is better to give than to receive. But where is the line drawn for someone to always be giving and never allowing said person to receive?" Well, I know this family in particular that sent in this question, and we love them so very much here at Edmonds First Baptist Church. We've had the opportunity to win them to Christ, to baptize them, and just to see their family grow in the Lord. And as this person has said, our church has really gone out of their way to give to this family in many different ways. And so obviously, she is wanting to give back to others who has blessed her. And so let me just say this to answer this question. First of all Christians everywhere are commanded to give. I mean, it's really an expectation. As a matter of fact, listen to this verse. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." Now, what I want to highlight in that verse is that Jesus says, "When you give," and he says it twice, "When you give." So Jesus expects every Christian to be a giver, okay? And as you're right, you quoted the verse here in your question, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I think that both are to be equal in a person's life. I think that, and as a matter of fact, I wrote something down here I want to share with you. Biblically, God gives through people so that the receiver can also give to others. Therefore, those who receive are to give, and those who give are to receive. It's a reciprocal effect. And so I appreciate your heart in asking this question, because, you know, you're giving praise to God that people have given to you, and you want to give back. And so sometimes those who give have a hard time receiving, but both are biblical. So thank you so very much for your question today. I pray that that answered your question. All right. The second question that we have today, it says, "Hello, Pastor. Hope you and yours are doing well. I'm reading Exodus, and in chapter 3, can you please explain the following verses, verse 23 and also verse 24? The question is this: is that part of what God wanted Moses to tell Pharaoh, verse 23? And in verse 24, why did God want to put Moses to death? Also, verse 25, why did Zipporah perform the circumcision? And what does 'you're a bridegroom of blood' mean?" Well, great questions. And as a matter of fact, this person says Exodus 3. That's actually, I'm sure it's just a typo. This is actually Exodus chapter 4, not Exodus chapter 3. And so, yeah, I'd be happy to answer this question. So let me get there in my Bible. Exodus chapter 4, and the first question has to do with verse 23, and let me read it. "And I say to you, let my son go, that he may serve me. If you refuse to let him go, behold, I will kill your firstborn son." Now, of course, God is telling Moses to say this to Pharaoh, okay? And this was a prophetic word concerning the last plague, when God would go throughout the land of Egypt and kill all the firstborn during the Passover. And so this is God telling Moses to say this to Pharaoh, okay? So that answers verse 23. What about verse 24? Well, let's read that. At a lodging place on the way, the Lord met him and sought to put him to death. So God here is going to put Moses to death. God is seeking to put Moses to death. And the reason why is because Moses is being disobedient to God's covenant command. God gave the nation of Israel command that their male children are to be circumcised on the eighth day after their birth. And this was a symbol of God's covenant to Abraham and also to serve as a covenant reminder. So Moses has not circumcised his son. And therefore, he is breaking covenant with God. And so God is going to seek to put Moses to death because Moses is breaking covenant. God's covenant command is more important than the mission that he's given Moses to do. But then in verse 25, then Zipporah took flint and cut off her son's foreskin and touched Moses with it and said, "Surely you are a bridegroom of blood to me." So Zipporah does what Moses should have done. And so she cuts off the foreskin, she circumcises the boy, and then some Bibles say she threw it at Moses. Here it says she touched Moses with it. And then Zipporah refers to Moses as a bridegroom of death. Now, the reason she says that is because she knows that God is intending to put Moses to death, therefore to bring death into their family. And Zipporah is upset because she is forced to do what Moses should have done. So she rebukes Moses by referring to him as a bridegroom of death, in other words, or a bridegroom of blood. In other words, you are about to bring death into our family because you have disobeyed God. Okay, so that answers that question. Thank you so very much for your question. The next question that I have is in relation to a video that's out there on YouTube. Here's the question. Why did God create other planets if we're the only life form? I guess is the word. Okay, that's the question. Why did God create other planets if we are the only life form is the question. Well, first of all, I would say that we don't know for certain that we are the only life form. Okay? God created other planets specifically for his glory. He did not create other planets for life forms. He created other planets for his glory. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. So first and foremost, all planets are created for the glory of God. And the second thing is that we don't know that we are the only life form. I mean, the Bible seems to indicate that, all right, that we are the only life form. But let's just imagine for a moment that there is another planet out there that contains other life. Well, it does not negate the fact that God is their creator, and the only way for them to have a relationship with God is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So I want to answer that question twofold. God created other planets primarily for his glory. And he doesn't need for there to be life form on other planets, okay? Because planets without life declare the glory of God. But let's say perhaps there is other life form. Well, they still would have to come to God by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. For all have sinned and come in short of the glory of God. This person also has another question and says, were Adam and Eve before the caveman, or is the caveman an idea that is false? Well, first of all, the idea of the Neanderthal or the caveman comes from the evolutionary theory. It does not come from biblical truth. And so I would say that the idea of the Neanderthal, the caveman, is an unbiblical idea. I mean, it really is. The Bible says that God created Adam and Eve. They were the first human beings created, and they were not Neanderthals. You know, they had cognitive abilities just like we do today. So the idea of the Neanderthal is an idea that is supported by the evolutionary theory, which is bad science, because the evolutionary theory is just that. It's a theory. It's never been proven, and it can't be proven. And so it's an unbiblical idea. God created Adam and Eve. There was never a caveman or a Neanderthal. And so thank you for your question. I believe that answers your question. This person goes on to ask, last, I saw this video and I just wanted to hear your thoughts. If it's false, if it's false, is there some truth? Okay. And this person asked me to break down the video. Well, I did go watch the video. It's a 20-minute long video. And so I'm not going to break it down because that's not the purpose of this podcast. I'd be here 40 minutes if I did that. But I did watch the YouTube program. And so let me give you my thoughts on it. And by the way, I thank you so much for your questions and for sending that link to me. I thought it was quite interesting. It was a YouTube of Jordan Peterson, and it was called On Belief in God. And so if my viewers or my listeners want to go watch the podcast, it's Jordan Peterson's On Belief in God. And so this person wants to know my thoughts. So let me tell you what my thoughts are. Jordan Peterson refuses to say that he believes in God. And he bases it on his philosophical understanding of the word belief. Well, first of all, let me just say I have a huge problem with his unwillingness to say whether or not he believes in God. Basically, he says, my actions tell you whether or not I believe in God. So Jordan Peterson bases his defense on his own morality. In other words, look at my morality, and my morality will tell you whether or not I believe in God. Now, I do think that there's something significant about that, because I would agree that true belief is manifested through our works. Faith without works is dead, right? So there is a sense where our works do substantiate our faith. But that's not what Jordan Peterson is saying. He's unwilling to say that he has faith in God. He's saying, look at my morality, and my morality will tell you whether or not I believe in God. So he bases the existence of God on his own morality, or the morality of mankind as a whole, where the Bible says that we are to base our belief in God on faith. And not only that, his conclusion undermines the authority of the Bible, and it also undermines the gospel message, because the gospel message says that we are to profess faith in Christ. We're to be open about our faith in Christ. So for the simple fact that Jordan Peterson is unwilling to do that is to undermine the gospel and to undermine the authority of Scripture. And so Jordan Peterson is not a Christian, okay? You know, for example, he refers to the Old Testament in his talk, and he interprets the Old Testament as an allegory. He talks about the ark representing the family unit, and the garden is how we are to protect our family. And so his whole understanding of the Old Testament is wrong. He does not see these things as actual events. He interprets them as allegory. So not only does he undermine the gospel, he undermines the authority of Scripture. And anyone who's not willing to say whether or not they believe in God or believe in Christ is an unbeliever. Jesus says, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. Well, I'll be real honest with you. When I was watching Jordan Peterson's arguments, I became frustrated. And the reason why is because he doesn't speak plainly. Of course, he's a philosopher and he speaks that way. Well, he's a counselor, philosopher, and so he speaks that way. All I heard was confusion and babble coming out of his mouth. He will not come to a place to state clearly what he believes. And the reason for that is because he doesn't have faith. He's truly at heart an unbeliever. Now, of course, he's brilliant, but the Bible has something to say about that. When I was listening to that YouTube page, this verse came to my mind, and let me share it with you. It's Romans chapter 1, verse 21 and following. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. I mean, this is Jordan Peterson, verse 22. Claiming to be wise, hello, Jordan, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to their lust and to the impurities of their own minds, and their foolish heart became darkened. And so, you know, I really think this is where Jordan Peterson is. He's claiming to be wise, but really he's only expressing his utter foolishness. And so I thought that the YouTube episode of Jordan Peterson's On Belief in God was quite disheartening. It really sounded nothing more than babble, foolish babble. I do pray that Jordan Peterson would come to faith in Christ and be saved. And so, excellent questions. I thank you for submitting them, and I pray that the answers were helpful. God bless you. Tune into our next podcast.